I guess it's time to go back in time.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
I have a lot of memories of the past.
People are time traveling within themselves.
Time travel is possible.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling it. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, on Thursdays, we drop member-only shows on the website and the Castos app. Plus, with that membership, you'll get access to ad-free listening of the Tuesday shows and the overtime segments when they are available. If that interests you, hit theconfessionalspodcast.com, go to the join button and become a member today. Now, let's get to this week's show. We have Ryan coming on the show today, and he talks about paranormal experiences he's had throughout his life, but he really talks a lot about being abducted and being implanted. I think it spawned a great conversation. I know you guys are going to enjoy this, so let's get to Ryan right now. All right, today we got Ryan. Ryan, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, good, thank you. Tony, how are you?
Doing good, man, doing good. So you're in the UK, and there's a time difference. I appreciate you working with me on the time and everything and getting this thing going, because I'm really excited to talk to you about your experiences. Again, this might sound odd for you to hear or the person I'm talking to, but whenever I get an email that's around, I've been abducted, I'm like, I'm interested. I want to hear it, you know? So like the selfish side of me, there's like a entertainment side, you know, that I want to hear. Obviously the audience tunes in for entertainment as well to hear these stories. But as the host, sometimes I feel weird. I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to hear how you were abducted. And, you know, maybe it's not that kind of enthusiastic for you, but either way, I am glad you were going to be talking about this and stuff. But when you were a kid, things kind of kicked off. Now, in the email, you mentioned about how things kind of tie together. At least you view it that way, where you think everything kind of ties together. So let's just start off in the beginning from your childhood and these experiences you had. And we'll go from there and just show us how this whole thing unfolded for you. Because I know we go all over the place with, you know, some things that almost look haunting on the surface, to the abductions, to implants, all that stuff. So take it away, my friend.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tony. So, yeah, going back to being a young child, I have a lot of memories of being taunted by an invisible entity. And I don't actually have any memory of this, but my parents tell me that I had an invisible friend for a good number of years while I was young. And I used to sort of hoard food for him. And yeah, I used to call him man, apparently. Again, I don't really have a lot of memories surrounding my invisible friend, but I do remember some certain situations. I can remember waking up early one morning and seeing a silhouette of a man at my bedroom window. Now, there was nothing outside of the bedroom window where anyone could be stood. They would need a ladder to access that window. And I remember a very clear silhouette of a man sort of just or a presence at that window. And yeah, again, a lot of these memories are quite vague, going back to being a very young child, but I'm just sort of giving you an outline of some of the kind of things that I experienced. I mean, I can remember I had a 50 pence piece once that, you know, one of my parents gave me this 50 pence piece, and I was dead happy to have this 50p. I was going to spend it in the shop on some sweets later, no doubt. And I was playing with it, and it well, just slightly under the washing machine there. And I was begging my dad to get it. And obviously, he was a bit reluctant to pull the washing machine out to get this 50p. But in the end, I managed to persuade him. And I know he definitely went under there, only just. And as he pulled it out, it wasn't there. So, of course, he's angry with me, and I'm messing him about. You know, just a little. But I can remember another occasion where I had a glow-in-the-dark toy. It came with an Action Man, and it was like a gun, and it glowed in the dark. You had to hold it up to the light bulb, I'd turn the light up, and I'd get in bed, and I'd sit there just watching glowing. You know, I was easily pleased at that age. And I accidentally dropped it down the side of the bed, and I went to grab it, and it completely disappeared. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a little bit odd. And then with that, I was sort of forcefully pinned to the bed. And I was, at this point, I was petrified. And I remember screaming as loud as I could, but nothing had actually vocalized. So it was, I was shouting for mum, but. And I can't actually remember exactly how that episode concluded. I honestly can't remember. But I remember those circumstances, the toy disappearing and being petrified. Wanting to being physically apprehended and trying to scream and couldn't scream. It was quite a scary ordeal for a young 3 year old, I'm guessing I was at the time. So yeah, as a young child, there was definitely something in the home. There was a lot of incidents that happened over the years. A bit later on, we moved house, and I remember an occasion that we had my auntie over from across the road. She lived opposite us at the time, and we were all sat in the front room. And she'd got a young newborn baby at the time. My family members were sat on the settee facing us. We were sat in front of the fireplace. I was sat next to my auntie. She had a baby in her arms, and it was a really big. Painting. It wasn't a painting, it was a print of some horses running through a field. And this painting just decided to fly off the wall. It didn't drop. If it dropped, it would have hit the fireplace and fell forward. It didn't. It came out from the wall, landed just behind us, and then upon further investigation, and we noticed that the screw was still in the wall and the string was still intact on the back of the picture. So that was a little bit odd. So, yeah, a lot of little sort of experiences, nothing majorly conclusive, just odd things that you just can't explain. I remember there was another occasion. I was a little bit older at this point. I was in my teens, probably about 15, 16, and I'd gone to see a girl. And she lived a good few miles away from me. And I remember staying there quite late and riding home quite late. And I was on a push bike. I've got no lights on my bike. And I was riding down a country lane. And this country lane was called, it's got trees on either side. So it's very shadowed. It's called Shady Lane. And I remember it being absolutely pitch black. I couldn't see a thing. There were no cars, no traffic, no one around. And I could just make out the white lines in the middle of the road. So I was riding on the white lines, so I knew that I wasn't going to ride into anything. Just minding my business, happy as Larry. And then all of a sudden, something grabbed my leg out of the darkness. And I couldn't tell you what it was. There was nobody about. And like I say, something grabbed my leg. So I bolted as fast as I could to get out of there. And just a lot of.
So with that experience and stuff, I mean, you didn't see anything. It just, you felt something grab your leg as what you were pedaling. And it seems like it was just not, it wasn't enough to knock you over or anything, just enough to like grab your leg real quick. Did it let go or did you get away?
Yeah, it was almost, no, I got away. It was almost like I'm letting you know, I'm trying to just put a bit of fear into your head, kind of, you know, it wasn't an aggressive like attack. Although I have actually been attacked by an invisible entity, but I'll come to that because that was a little bit later in life. But I'll just come on to my UFO experiences. Now, again, I've not got anything concrete. I've not got hard evidence. I've just got very unusual, unexplainable circumstances. The most memorable, again, I would have been about 17. I don't think I was quite of a legal age to drink. But we did. We sort of went uptown and, you know, we'd have 20 quid in our back pockets. And, you know, it was a lot cheaper back then. And at the end of the night, it was kind of like, do we get a cab home or get a kebab? It's a choice, you know. We didn't have the luxury to have both back then, so the kebab won, and we walked home. And the walk home was very sobering. And I remember a friend lived around the corner from me at the time, and we walked home. And I remember clearly, because I'd sobered up significantly by the time I got home. I remember clearly. Arriving at home, it was daylight, and I remember walking through the front garden, and I don't remember anything at all after that. When I woke up in the morning, felt okay, wasn't hungover particularly, and I went downstairs, and my mum said, "I'm very ashamed in you." I was like, "Why? Why? What have I done?" She goes, "Last night, your behaviour." "What do you mean? I didn't do anything wrong." She goes, "Well, I woke up, I had a feeling that something wasn't quite right. It was about 4 a.m. She said, "I just sensed something wasn't right. And I went in your room to check on you, and you wasn't there. You wasn't in bed." And I panicked a little bit, and I looked out the back window, out your bedroom window, and there you was, stood completely naked in the garden in some kind of trance. I was like, "What? You've got to be kidding me." She said, "Yeah." And I went out and I went to get your attention and told you to come in. And you weren't with it. You weren't fully compos mentis. He said, "Oh, I really need to go to the toilet," ran upstairs and just climbed in bed. She thought, "Well, where's his clothes? You know, completely naked, nothing on me. Where's his clothes?" So she's gone out looking for my clothes, and my clothes were in a neat pile, folded meticulously. I mean, I'm 17 years of age. I'd take my clothes off and just chuck them on the floor in the bedroom. I wasn't into folding clothes. No, I don't think I'd ever folded clothes. But there, my clothes were meticulously folded perfectly in a pile with my watch that I'd just bought with my first paper packet laid out on top. It was quite an expensive watch that I bought myself at the time. And luckily, it hadn't been stolen. But yeah, all there in the pile, exactly where I remember, I had my last known memory as I walked into the garden. So again, I can't say, "Oh, I've seen aliens and I've been in a craft." No. It's not quite like that. It's just I've been given a set of circumstances that really made me question the possibilities of what could have happened. And I've got to admit, I did think at the time, we did, you know, we kind of joked, yeah, I was abducted by aliens. We didn't, I didn't take it seriously. I didn't think that's exactly what happened. To be honest, I didn't even say anything to my friends or anything at the time. It was just one, another one of those unexplainable circumstances. And going back a few years prior to that experience, I remember I was with my cousin at the time. He was taking me swimming. We were stood at a bus stop. It must have been winter time because I remember it was dark. I remember being stood at the bus stop with him. And all of a sudden, I had this compulsion to look into the sky. No reason to do that. Wasn't something I generally did. And as I looked up into the sky, I immediately was drawn to this, what I thought was a star that was just slowly moving across the sky. I went, oh, that's odd. It looks like a star. It's moving. And then as I locked onto it and had that thought, it stopped. I thought, oh, that was moving. I'm sure that was moving. And then without accelerating or picking up speed, it just suddenly shot off at a 90-degree angle on a tangent. And I saw it sort of shoot across the sky. I watched it disappear behind some clouds and then reappear. And it gone. I thought, oh, what was that? That's not really explainable by anything I can, you know, I've ever seen before in the night sky. It was an unusual experience. At the time, I wasn't scared. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't rattled by it. I didn't even say anything to my cousin that I was with at the time. I just thought, oh, you know, it's just one of those, another one of those odd things that I can't really explain. But these experiences, I think, were, I mean, with the thing with alien abductions, people say to me, okay, what's so special about you? Why would they have an interest in you? And there is nothing special about me. I think this is a phenomenon that's happening to millions of people, but they just have absolutely no idea it's occurring because they can cover their tracks so well. You know, if they erase your memory of the experience, how are you ever going to know? And there's definitely something going on because there's too many people out there having these experiences. Some of them do have full recollection of being in crafts. My niece, actually, going back a few years now, I woke up one morning, felt a bit off. You know, sometimes you think something might have happened last night. You don't know. I can't say for sure something did, but I woke up one morning feeling a little bit off. Something wasn't quite right. I can't be sure something happened, but I had it in the back of my mind. And then my young niece, who would have been maybe 4 or 5 at the time, said to her mum that she went up in a lift last night, up into the sky, and Uncle Ryan was there in the lift with me, meaning me. And again, it was just like, oh, that's an unusual claim. You know, I felt like something might have occurred. And anyway, no recollection, no memory, no nothing. But it just, again, just one of those oddities. And, you know, sort of years later, it was just before YouTube became a thing. There was people-to-people file sharing. I remember that's how I first started exploring and researching the sort of paranormal phenomenon. And because of my prior experiences, I had a keen interest in this topic. And I thought, wow, this is the first opportunity. I'm not a reader. I don't read books. It's the first opportunity I've got to do a bit of research into this topic. And so that was something that I did. And I started looking into other people's accounts and, you know, downloading video footage, this, that, and the other. And I even got into the Billy Meyer case, which I'm not saying that what Billy Meyer is presenting is false. I don't believe that. I believe it's true. However, I don't want to think that the guys that he's interacting with are necessarily the good guys. And I'm not saying that they're doing anything particularly wrong. It's just that with what I've kind of, the conclusions that I've drawn through my experience and everything that's going on, the good guys are more observing what we're going through rather than interfering. They know this, what we're faced with down here on Earth is ours to deal with, and they won't interfere. They've got a very much of a hands-off approach. That's what I believe. So I think anyone that's coming forward with claims of alien contact and this, that, and the other, I tend to keep. At one point, I was into it all. I loved it. You know, I couldn't get enough of it. But now I tend to keep that information at sort of arm's length because I think it could be misleading in some ways. And the only reason I'd drawn these conclusions was I actually I went to Amsterdam with a group of friends with the sole intention of doing some magic mushrooms because they're legal over there. And I wanted to make a bit of a sort of ritual out of it and, you know, have a spiritual experience, this, that, and the other. And it kind of ended up just being carnage and a brilliant laugh, to be fair, for the most part. But I did sort of start with the lads, like, right, we're going to be in the bedroom. I want us all to be quiet. We're going to just see what happens. And I want to, you know, we bought incense and a calming CD. You know, we had the intentions. We wanted to do it right. And I just had this overwhelming feeling because I'd been yearning for the stars. I'd been looking at the Billy Meyer case, been looking at all these, you know, alien civilizations and yearning. I was really resenting my existence here on Earth because it was, this place is a difficult place to survive. And I was yearning for the stars and what they can offer and how these civilizations live, advanced civilization, blah, blah, blah. And during my mushroom, as it first started to kick in, I just had this connection with the earth, like I'd never connected with the earth before. I just got a sense that it was a living being, and I could see it as an entity, you know, as it revolves in space. It's a living, breathing entity. And as you zoom in, you've got all the individuals on the planet that are animating the planet into consciousness. It's us that make the planet what it is and brings it into life. And I just had this overwhelming connection, and I thought, and I realized that she was providing everything that we need right here, right under our feet. And from that point forwards, I stopped looking out to the stars and stopped looking at these alien civilizations for inspiration. And I started to concentrate more on my journey here on Earth and what we're going through here, because I personally believe what we're doing here on Earth is of paramount significance. There's no other place like this in the universe. Again, this is all speculation and belief, but I'm going with what resonates with me, you know, sort of putting the puzzle pieces together and all the research that I've done. I think being here at this time is a unique experience in the universe. There is a set of circumstances here, and the kind of challenges that we're faced with that don't exist elsewhere in the universe. You might go to another planet somewhere else in the cosmos, and you might find a symbiotic environment where everything works in harmony with one another. Well, that's kind of very different here. Down here on Earth, we've got an environment where everything's feeding off each other in order to survive. It doesn't matter what ecosystem you look into, something is eating something else in order to survive. And even the vegetarians of the world, you know, plants are living sentient beings as well as animals, which a lot of people probably don't want to hear. So I'm kind of losing myself a little bit here. I'm getting quite ahead of myself. I've kind of gone off from being from experiences now to giving you my opinions of you know, a galactic kind of view of world view.
Yeah, no, that's fine, man. That's fine. I mean, we can get back into the experiences and stuff. But I just wanted to say to you though, I think that you're right. Like, I mean, I don't know the depths of the philosophy that you're going down, but I do have this sense, and I think a lot of people listening have this sense that there is something very unique going on here. Mm-hmm. Whether it's unique to the universe or unique to our existence up to this timeline, if you're breathing air right now, you're living in a time that's very, very unique and also pivotal.
Absolutely.
Very pivotal in our humanity and in our existence. And
absolutely,
you can go down so many different roads depending on what you believe, you know, and how, why is it unique and where is it all going? But I do feel like in our guts, at least for me, and obviously for you, it just feels like this isn't just, you know, the roaring 20s, you know, like back in the 1920s, but now it's 2020. This is something totally different, you know, and it's hard to put your finger on it. You can go down the road of the conspiracies and these world elites pushing us into this new existence of humanity, which is very possible. But then there's also the agenda. I don't know if it's the agenda. No, I would say the angle of, you know, extraterrestrial, interdimensional beings, and humanity coming to this understanding that we aren't alone, whether it's in the universe or interdimensionally, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we're coming to this idea and this understanding that, you know, for a long time it was, you know, there's the atheist crowd, then there's the theist crowd. The theist crowd believes there's a God, there's a hell, and very, very, and I don't mean this insulting, but very simplistic in the sense that there's a limited amount of characters in this story. You know, there's us, there's God, there's Satan, there's demons, angels, boom, done. And I feel like humans are starting to come to the understanding, whether you're scientific minded or more spiritual minded, that there is way more to this existence than what we ever fathomed, you know.
Yes.
And the fathoming of the more to this existence was contained to sci-fi movies. And all of a sudden we feel like we're living in a movie. It's because the movies that were made for decades now that were sci-fi is turning out to be real. I mean, we have places like CERN, you know, doing the particle accelerator stuff and colliding things and trying to find, you know, the God particle and supposedly opening up, you know, portals and things coming through. And that's CERN, mainstream, quote unquote, mainstream science. Yeah. With, you know, Shiva on their front lawn. So you make that for what it is. But but then you have like the more esoteric stuff that has been going on for centuries, like schools of mystery. I mean, there are really schools out there that people go to learn how to pursue the arts, the dark arts, and opening portals and allowing beings and things coming through. And then what are those things, you know? And there's just so much that I think that we're waking up to, no matter where you're coming from in life, as far as how you believe the world operates. I feel like collectively we are all together in this sense of waking up to the idea that this reality that we live in is far more complex than what we thought it was.
Absolutely.
And we're now looking at the movies that came out over the last few decades and we're like, holy crap, is the Matrix real? You know? So, you know, but it's, with that said though, I feel like it's an exciting time to be alive, because
absolutely,
every day you wake up to something else that's just like, what the heck, whether it's mind blowing on a paranormal angle or confirming to the idea that, you know, there are certain elite type people in this world that are favored over you, and you're just a peon to them kind of thing. Like just today, I read an article, and I'm hijacking the show, but just we'll get back to you in a second, Ryan. Just today, though, I read an article that it just came out, I think, yesterday, and we're recording right now on December 3rd, 2021. And I'm reading this article, and it's talking about how the CIA, now BuzzFeed, got this information through the Freedom of Information Act. It took them like a decade to get all this information, but it turns out that the CIA in the last, I think it said 14 years, has had 10 people within the CIA caught having inappropriate actions with children. And stemming from anything from finding it on their computers to actually physically doing things with kids down to 2 years old. And they pass it on to the department it was. You know, basically doing the right thing to do. You pass it on down the chain for, you know, legal prosecution and stuff. Of the 10 people, though, only one was actually prosecuted. The other nine was given back to the CIA, and the CIA most likely just dispatched them and fired them kind of thing. But that no legal prosecution came out of it. And it was because they say it was to protect the sensitive information that these people knew. So they basically put these people and what they knew over the innocence of children that were being abused. Mm-hmm. And so like that's just an example of people waking up to understanding that we lived very long time in the past few centuries, not a few centuries, but let's just say the last 100 years, at least in America, where you're like, you know, these are the rules, these are the laws, and it all runs smoothly. It's great. It's amazing. And all of a sudden we're waking up that no, there's actually multiple systems here, and if you're not in a certain system, you don't get away with things that other people, not that you should get away with those kind of things, but I'm saying, like, you know, these people, they don't have the same set of rules that everybody else does. And that's just one example. Anyways,
what are the sort of conclusions that I've drawn there is that there is, I mentioned earlier about the planet and how the people on the planet are what animates into consciousness. Now, I believe that there are like there are some native people who have been with this planet for a very long time. And there are also a lot of people that have been introduced to this planet without any conscious awareness of what their agenda is. But they are being placed here with the specific agenda of suppressing the energy of both the planet and the human race. And they are just naturally inclined to do very debaucherous, evil acts, including to children. And it's all about the suppression of humanity. But actually, really, if we want to turn that on its head, we can look at it another way and say, actually, these people are here serving us because they are providing a very unique set of circumstances that I don't believe exists anywhere else in the universe, that are presenting us with these challenges that we're going through. And it's all about growth. It's all about discovering more about who we are, discovering ourselves, and growing. And ultimately, I do believe we are moving in a direction where it's pretty obvious humanity is waking up. And the more the authorities and this debaucherous energy clamps down on the human race, and we're seeing mandates and laws being imposed on humanity now that we would never have imagined. Go back 10, 20 years ago, we could not imagine the set of circumstances that we're in now. And if I can sort of give you an example of how, I mean, I've had a very difficult, a very challenging life. I've suffered a lot throughout this life, and I don't want to make this about me and how, you know, special I am, blah, blah, blah. It's not about that. I want to give people an idea, using myself as an example of of how they can see their own personal challenges, because there's a lot of us out there that are having a difficult time on this planet, just getting by. And a lot of us, like I said earlier, I resented my existence here for a very long time. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, by the way, because we do create. We have a creative energy. If we are an integral part of this planet, we have a creative energy within us that is being manipulated. And they're using our, because those, the people that I said that are here imposing themselves on this planet that aren't aware of the agenda they're here for, they're just naturally drawn to these evil acts. I keep losing myself now. Where was I going with that?
You said, well, you said that you didn't want to make it about yourself. And
that's right. Yeah. I was talking about some of the challenges that we face and the difficulties that I've faced. And I can say quite honestly that some of my darkest moments in this world have also been some of the most enlightening. It's the yin and yang. You've got the darkness, but inside the midst of the darkness, you've got that portal to the light. And also the opposite of that is true. You can be on cloud nine and something will come along, wash you off your feet, and you straight plunge down into the darkness. But I mean, I can remember being a young child, and I had a strong sense of who I was as an individual, as a young child. But as we progress through life, our belief systems and just life in general, it has a way of removing us from who we think, from who we are, and we start to become someone that we think we are. And our belief systems shape our reality, and they shape our experience of life. Our belief systems are very, very powerful. And I sort of went through life, and I lost my mum when I was 21, I think I was, and I'm 43 now, so it's quite a few years ago, but it was still quite a young age to lose my mother. And at that time, I found it very difficult, because I was holding back from going down certain avenues of life, certain dark paths, because one of the main motivations was I always wanted to make my mum proud. But not only that, I wanted to be healthy and live a long life. So I kind of, you know, a lot of my friends went down the path of doing drugs, this, that, and the other. I sort of withheld from all that. I had very strong opinions about all that kind of stuff, and I never went down that road. But then when my mum died, I kind of questioned everything. And I was like, well, if I've only got a limited time here, so what? Why not let your hair down and go and enjoy life? And, you know, I did fall off the rails for a while, and I became somebody that I wasn't. I developed this personality interface of being, I was sort of, I was a bodybuilder. I was a big guy, and I'm not going to be ashamed to admit it. I took steroids, and with that came this overinflated version of who I thought I was. And I was working the doors. I veered away from my true nature quite a long way. And my greater being went, you need to come back. You need to be brought back into line, mate, and you need a bit of a reality check. And I got a big reality check. 11 years ago now, 10, 11 years, I had kidney failure. And so, my lifestyle choices, they weren't the cause of my kidney failure, but they certainly didn't help, And So I've gone from being this big, strong man about the town with a reputation, you know, on this geezer. And then all of a sudden I'm on a hospital bed. I've lost my business. That's another thing. I was a business owner as well. Trying to be somebody in this world. And whilst I was trying to be this imaginary version of myself, I completely lost myself in the process. And from that to being on this hospital bed, I lost my business. I'd lost my health. I'd lost my wealth. I'd lost a lot of friends in the process. And I'd lost everything. I'd lost all my income. My house was in the process of being repossessed. It never did get repossessed, thankfully, but it was looking that way at one point. I lost my mobile phone. My internet got disconnected. I lost everything at that point. And that provided me with a very unique set of circumstances that really made me question about who I was as a person. I kind of rediscovered myself again. And aside from anything else, just unplugging from the matrix, just taking, and it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't by choice. These things were removed from me. I'd got into the habit of being addicted to a mobile phone. I mean, the iPhones were around, you know, 10, 11 years ago. I'd got an iPhone and, spending a lot of time on the internet. And then all of a sudden, I had nothing. And I'd never, you know, and I disconnected from everybody as well. And I'd also found this new, I wanted to try and give myself the best opportunity and health possible. So I changed my diet drastically. I'd got the motivation to cut out all the rubbish and started eating very healthily. And my perspective of the world just absolutely transformed overnight. So there I was in the midst of this worst possible set of circumstances I could find myself in. And all of a sudden I found this inner energy that was coming to the forefront that carried me through these dark times. And it really gave me a whole new perspective on life. I found myself not really being able to connect with people around me because I was living a completely different life. I wasn't sat on the phone. I wasn't sat in front of my computer. I was out in nature, contemplating life, which is not something anyone else was doing. So I found myself sort of in this very unique position, with this very unique perspective on life. And you could almost call it, It was a double-edged sword. It was the breaking of me, but also the making of me. Now, since then, obviously, we're functioning in this world, and we need other people around us. I learned that it was a very lonely existence, having this unique perspective. I couldn't really connect with my peers around me. I was in a very different vibration. I found other people quite heavy, and I was buzzing. I was in this really vibrant place because I just got this new breath of fresh air about life. And slowly but surely, the reality of life crept back in. You know, I then found myself, hang on a minute, you now need to survive financially, you need to put bread and water on the table. You need to, you know, you need a hand in the world of technology. We need mobile phones. They're an essential tool this day and age. I don't see how we can survive without them now. So bit by bit, I sort of plunged myself back into the Matrix, as it were. And I find myself, you know, sort of in the thick of it with everybody else again, which is where I find myself now. But just to recap on what I'm trying to say is some of these major challenges that we face when we're put under pressure, and we need to recognize that, you know, that's exactly how diamonds are produced. It's pressure and heat and you know, for thousands of years create this beautiful diamond. And the more pressure that we're put under, both as individuals and as a human race, and we are being put under an immense amount of pressure at the moment as a race, as a species, the more pressure that we're put under, the more our opportunity to shine. And I think that's an important thing for people to understand, that sometimes these dark times really are an opportunity to grow and really are an opportunity to discover ourselves. And I think, I personally really do believe that we have got some very tough times ahead, just around the corner, very close.
I agree. I just discovered the term black pill. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No, that's new for me, that.
You've heard of red pill, right?
Yep, red and blue pill.
So essentially, and apparently there's a white pill now too. I don't know what that is, but yeah, these kids making up stuff every day. But apparently the black pill is you're red pilled, but because you're red pill, you view the world as there's no hope, we're all doomed. Apparently I'm more black pilled than anything. So I do agree with you, though. I mean, I think there are really challenging times ahead for humanity. Mm-hmm. Without going into specifics and all that stuff, it just in general, I think we're living in a very challenging time, because we're living in a time where humanity is transitioning, yes. And technology, like you were just talking about, is a big part of that transition. Mm-hmm. A lot of the problems that we have today stem from us having supercomputers in our pockets and constantly being connected to the, whatever you want to call it, the Matrix. And so we're transitioning. We're learning how to communicate in new ways as human beings that we never had the opportunity to do before now. And it's presenting challenges. And I think that what you were talking about with the whole, the analogy of diamonds and stuff, I think we're put in the pressure cooker right now. And yes. I think that there are going to be people who are going to rise out of this, and they're going to be stronger, more influential than they ever could have imagined. And there, I think, will be some people who do cave to the pressure. And unfortunately, things like suicide and thing, I think that's going to rise because, and that's why, and this is not a commercial plug. This is why when I have the opportunity to talk about companies like Cerebral and stuff, I take it, because I do think that there are a lot of people out there that listen to my show that deal with depression and the way the world is right now. I think we all have a certain amount of anxiety and depression that we were dealing with.
And I
talked about it earlier this year, how I was on Christmas Eve, I was supposed to be doing an interview with a guy who wound up committing suicide. And so, I mean, I'm just, as the host of the show, I'm just, anybody who's listening right now, I understand life sucks right now, and it's hard for some people, but try to find some kind of light in your life that keeps you from doing things that maybe in the dark hours of your life you're considering doing. And I'm not oblivious to it. I know that there's a lot of people out there struggling right now with those kind of thoughts, because we're living in a world where you feel like there's no hope. There's hope if you create that hope in your own life. Don't let the outside influences dictate your own personal experience in this plane of existence. Make that your responsibility to take on and shut out some of the stuff that's going on in the world. And if you have to, create a bubble around yourself where certain things just don't exist in your head, you know, that's what I've done to stay sane with some things. I pretend things don't happen. Like certain things, they don't exist in my house. It's just like COVID. What? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay.
Too right.
They're like,
too
did right. You hear about the variant? What's a variant? I don't know what a variant is. It doesn't exist in my world. Okay. It's just, you know, yeah. So
the fear factor out there amongst the population is immense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sanitize. I don't hand sanitizer, it says on the bottle that it kills, all right, bacteria, but it kills, you know, you expose yourself to enough of it, it's going to have a detrimental effect on your health. Yeah. I don't sanitize, I don't wash my hands every 5 minutes, I don't wear a mask when I'm out in public. I have got health conditions, and I'm still here to tell the tales. But you look out there at people, I mean, I get some, just today walking around the supermarket, some, you know, a couple making some unpleasant comments about me because I've not got a mask on. But if you want to live in fear, that's your choice. You know, it is a choice at the end of the day. You don't have to make that choice.
Yeah. I think we live in a world right now where just in general, people are living under the influence of other people. And so whether that stuff aside, just like I've said over the years, disconnect, people. Just disconnect. I said this when I first started the show back in 2017. I started telling people to disconnect from mainstream propaganda and that they need to just find out what they think about the world. Unplug. And, you know, if you started doing that back in 2017, you're probably thanking me right now. Like, I mean, I'm happy when I'm talking to people like you, but I can be kind of a pain in the ass to deal with sometimes as well.
All of this company. Yeah, definitely.
You know, the audience gets to hear me on the good side. You know, I get to interview somebody, I have a fun, pleasant conversation, and this is all great and stuff. But when the microphone goes off and then somebody pisses me off all of a sudden, I'm a totally different person. Like, I thought you were a Christian. I am a Christian. I'm just mad. I'm a mad Christian. I'm an angry Christian.
I got road rage the other day, and it just proves that I've still got those demons inside of me. You know, I still get angry when I need to.
Yeah, I wish I could just have like a room dedicated to putting holes in the wall. That'd be great. You know. So, yeah. All right, let's backtrack here. I want to talk to you about these experiences still, because I don't think you really went into, let's talk about the implant wherever you want to go.
The implant, again, I mean, the implant was there from, it wasn't there as a child, and I suspect it sort of appeared roughly around the time of the abduction that I was, you know, given the significant clues, and I do think I was given significant clues for a reason in order to put me on the path that I'm on. So I think it sort of stems back to that time. I can't be 100% sure, but it basically, in my left hand just there, it's about the size of a large pill, you know, a sort of capsule pill that you'd sort of take. It feels like that under the skin in my left hand. Now, it was when I was questioning life, and I had a series of events, and a lot of information was came to me all at once. It was what you might want to term like an awakening experience. You know, a lot of synchronicities happened, and a lot of information came into my life at that time, and it just gave me this big picture of, you know, my own personal circumstances and an idea of what we're going through as a planet together, as a race, as a human race. And the thing about this implant is, I don't know for sure that it's an implant. I have very strong suspicions that it is. I know other people that are not conspiratorial minded, that are friends that I've grown up with, that have exactly the same lump. And one guy I know's got it in his arm there. There are, you know, what I'm trying to say is this sort of thing is far more common than we like to realize. I was lucky. I was given the clues. I was given some breadcrumbs to follow. A lot of people don't have that fortunate perspective, point of reference. So again, I can't, I mean, I was looking at, when I first discovered it, I was like, I need to get this removed. I've got to get this out of me. You know, what's it doing? What sort of, how is it operating? How is it affecting me? Is it the cause? Could it be the root cause of my autoimmune conditions? You know, this, that. I had all these kind of thoughts going through my head. I decided in the end not to get it removed. It would have been a painful procedure. And also on top of that, some of my research that I did online of other people that have had these implants removed, one guy said, yeah, I went, you know, went through the expense of having it removed privately, and he was in a lot of pain. It was a painful process because apparently there's a lot of nerve fibers and things attached to into these. They're embedded into us quite deeply. And he said he was in a lot of pain after he'd had it removed. And then a couple of days later, they just picked him up and put another one straight back in. So it was a kind of a bit of a pointless process.
I have heard of that. I have heard of that. And so it's like, shoot, man, I'm out 10 grand. And I got this thing right back in. I can understand. Now, did you talk to your niece about it at all? I mean, have you ever thought about talking to her because of her saying that she saw you?
No, not really. No, again, my views, my worldly views are not something that I force on people in my day-to-day living. She's a young child. She's got a lot to learn about life herself. And if you're not careful, I can present this in a way that could be very scary to a young child. So I'm very careful with my approach, especially, you know, with children. But I must say that the paranormal activity in my life, it's always been there, but it's kind of come and gone in waves. But at the minute, I've had a lot of heightened activity again. If I go back probably about 12 months ago, at the moment I am getting taunted at night. There is an entity around me, and I don't feel like there's a demonic presence, and I don't feel like there's a ghost. I feel like this is something that's attached to me. Again, I've got no evidence, but no proof. This is just from the research that I've done. There are different types of paranormal activity. And again, what we think of now as being paranormal, I think in the not too distant future will become just normal. It will be explained by some scientific process.
Yeah.
There are different things occurring. There are different accounts. I mean, some of the things that I've seen, I think it's pretty obvious. There's someone, like maybe a person in an invisibility cloak going around causing mayhem, captured on CCTV. And you can see they'll flick that, push that, open that. And it's just like they're going around a room. And okay, maybe there is someone, you know, and in some cases you can actually see the predator camouflage like effects, you know, like what people claim they've seen with Sasquatch as well when they're cloaked. Is that a technology that maybe the military have access to, or certain members of, you know, this dark cabal that are, and again, their agenda is not, it's not money. Money is just a tool that they use to manipulate. Their main agenda is they feed on our energy, whether that be fear and darkness. That, you know, you could have an entity attached to you, and you could be in an argument with a person, and this entity is feeding you and tapped into you and giving you thoughts and making you act in a certain way that's going to inflame the situation. They might even place two people together that shouldn't be together, but they know that those two people together will create a certain rift and a certain energy and a vortex of energy that they will feast on in the background. You know, a lot of these entities, they're there. They're in the background. We can't see them. We can't necessarily sense them, but they're having a hand in what's actually going on around us in our day-to-day lives, and they're manipulating us into certain circumstances where they can feed from our energy. And equally, I say they're feeding from fear, but they can equally feed on love. I mean, you've got to look at what's the number one mind control program that the world is suffering from. For me, in my opinion, that would be religion. And I know right off the bat, I'm going to upset some people by saying this, because some people who have religious beliefs, their beliefs are very enamored and very, very solid. And instantly you sort of bring their beliefs into question, and their defenses are just going to be straight up. And there's going to be a lot of people that will dislike what I'm about to say, but there are millions, and it's took a bit of a backstep in recent times, but you go back throughout history for the thousands of years, the human race has been on their knees projecting love and worship to this entity. And to the atheists out there, there's no way in this world that amount of energy is not being harnessed. That there is an entity up there sucking all that love and all that worship and absolutely devouring it. They are loving every minute of it. In modern times, it's kind of mutated and transformed to suit the modern day and age. Now, people worship money, celebrity, and you look into the celebrity lifestyle and people selling their souls to the devil, and you freeze frame clips and you can see people's eyes change and expressions, and they're changing, they're transforming on stage, and they're becoming these entities. And these entities are feeding on the worship of their audience. And it is there's a big, huge amount of energy. You put someone on a pedestal on a stage with thousands of people screaming and worshiping that person on the stage, that's a big energetic charge that somebody is just sucking up out of the audience. So I've digressed and gone off on a tangent again. So what I was saying, there's a lot of different things going on in the background with these paranormal experiences. And I think as well, another thing that people experience, if they see a ghost that isn't interacting with them, they just see an apparition. Again, I think that can be bleed through from an energy that's attached to that location. And it's like a flashback. If you look at the Earth as it spins around the sun, and you've got the sun spinning around the galaxy and we're spiraling around the galaxy, every now and again, as the Earth is spinning and moving, the energetic alignments on some occasions will be close to alignments in the past, and we might get a bit of bleed through. You might see a gentleman from the 18th century on a horseback going across a road where there used to be a Roman road years ago. You know, is that a ghost? Is that a demon? I think that's some bleed through, that's an energetic bleed through that's occurring through that time, space, location. You've got demons that are summoned through dark magic and rituals, and not just demons, but I believe cryptids as well. Sometimes when in a particular area, you might find there's sightings of a particular cryptid or a dogman or something. And then you also learn that in that area, there's an active satanic group that may be opening portals for these entities to come through into this, into our dimensional space. There's a lot of things going on that you need to consider. And with me, I feel that my journey in this life and this conversation that we're having now is the reason why I've had so much attention in the past and in the recent times as well. Just going back about a year ago, I've I've had some real problems sleeping now for quite a while. And I remember the first time it started, I've got sleep apnea as well, and I've got all sorts going on, but again, I don't want to make this about me, but I'm battling trying to go to sleep. I just got into a state of just about to doze off, and then my bedside cabinet decided to move 6 inches across the floor, right in front of my face. As I'm dozing, I'm like, whoa. And I'm wide awake. I'm like, what's going on there? Why did that happen? That's odd. You know, I'm not feeling like there's a demonic entity in the house. I'm not feeling a presence or anything, just weird things happening. I tend to sit up a lot in bed because too much time laying down, it makes it even harder to try and get sleep. So I sit up for a while, and then when you sit back, lay back down again, you feel a little bit refreshed, and it's like sometimes you can sort of, you know, feel a bit more comfortable and drift off to sleep. But this one particular time, I'm sat on the edge of the bed, and something rugby tackled me so hard and knocked me flying over, and I was like, whoa, it actually angered me. I was like, I stood up. I was like, you coward. I was like, how dare you hide in the shadows and attack me? From the darkness. You coward, come out. Let me see who you are. Let me see why you're doing this to me. And I had a big bruise and a scratch across my chest after that happened. And that was going back about 12 months ago. Just after that happened, actually, me and the missus decided that we were going to set a camera up in the bedroom and to try and capture some of this on footage. And I woke up the next day. I thought, oh, okay. I don't think anything significant happened, and nothing that I was aware of anyway, but we'll check the footage anyway. One thing we did capture was, I don't know if you've ever come across in your research, whether you've ever come across what a sky rod is. It's like, they call them flying fish. It's something that's only picked up on camera. You don't see it with the naked eye. It's very fast. And it was like a creature. It was like a centipede almost, but with like, the waves of a fish. You know, those are really hard to explain. But anyway, we captured one of those.
Like an eel?
It's like an eel with fins, but as the fins are run along the length of the body and they sort of ripple, as a fish would be propelled through the water, this is propelling itself through the air using these fins. It's very hard to describe without giving you a visual. But sky rods, if you do an image search for a sky rod, you'll see exactly what we captured. So we captured one of those on very clearly, actually, and very vividly on film. And the other thing I noticed is there was a lot of orb activity around us in the bedroom. And the camera, it was only a cheap thing that we got, but it was motion activated. But because I'm so restless, it just recorded all night. So there was like a lot of footage to go through, and I quickly got bored and wasn't that interested. So I didn't think anything happened. And then the missus went, oh, look at this. We're both laying there in bed, and then we're both sort of motionless, and then the covers get yanked off us. It's like, oh, you know, we did capture something on camera. Okay, fair enough. We sent it to a few family members. Look, I told you, I weren't just saying it. You know, I've got proof now. And there was another occasion when I went away for a weekend with the boys. It was a friend's birthday, and we've hired a boat, and we're on the Norfolk Broads, somewhere in the UK, famous for boating. And the missus was at home, and she set the camera up again, actually, while she was on her own. She was just curious as to whether there'd be anything happen while I wasn't there. And curiously, there was no orbs, nothing. And when I'm in there, there was a lot of orbs constantly, which was an interesting point to note. But then as we're on this boat, one of the guys goes up on the roof. He's got a cigar. It's his birthday. He's going to have this celebratory cigar for his birthday. And then one by one, the other lads sort of disappear off onto the roof. And I stayed inside the boat. And the precise moment that the last lad left my vicinity and I was in the boat on my own, my bedroom, which was at the front of the boat, all of a sudden the door violently burst open. And I just took that as a message that, yeah, you've gone away with the lads, but I'm still with you. I'm attached to you. You know, you're my point of interest. That was the message I got from that. And then there was an occasion just a few weeks ago. I'm lying in bed, and all of a sudden, I'm actually asleep at this point. I'm actually fast asleep. All of a sudden, I start sliding out the bed. And I wake up, I open my eyes, and I'm moving across the bed. I'm not being pushed. I've not got any pressure in the middle of my back. I'm just sliding on the bed, and I can't do anything to stop it. I slide off the bed and land on the floor. And I'm like, again, I'm angry because I'm struggling to sleep anyway, and I've just been woke up by being slid off the bed and landing on the floor. And, you know, the missus wakes up with me shouting at this invisible ghost. But the interesting thing is that, again, we've set the camera up a couple of times, and I'll be honest, I really can't be doing with going through 8 hours worth of footage just to see if something happens. But it is very apparent there is a lot of orb activity captured when I'm present. We set it up in my little boy's room, no orbs. Set it up in our room with Sarah just there, no orbs. Even there was a night she set the camera up and I didn't go to bed till a few hours later. Before I went to bed, no orbs. I went to bed, the bedroom's full of orbs. Very strange. I think it's something it's an entity that I've either got a karmic charge with. There's some karma between us that's being lived out, or maybe it's about my unique experience through life and my unique perspective on life. And there may be something trying to stop me singing my song, if that makes sense. Another unusual thing that used to happen to me, going back sort of 10 years or so, when I was, you know, in the midst of my awakening, I wanted to get this message out to people. And I started writing, I started planning and writing a talk that I wanted to present in my local community. And as I was typing, and I was typing on a device that I'd never connected on the internet, and so as I was typing, as I was looking at the screen, watching what I was typing, it typed normally. As soon as I looked down at the keyboard to look for the keys to type, the cursor would jump all around the screen. And it happened every single time I took my eyes off the screen. So it's like there was something in the room with me watching exactly what I was doing and waiting for me to look down so that the cursor could move. Or maybe it might have been the webcam. Who knows? Who really knows? But just a lot of unusual, unexplainable activity right to the present day.
Do you still have any of the footage from, like, your bedroom and stuff?
Yes.
Could you send me some of it? I mean, I don't want 8-10 hours of footage.
No.
If you don't want to go through it, I don't want to go through it. So.
No, I've got a short screen recording. Awesome. That I made. I mean, it is me and the missus in bed. I don't know how she'll feel about it, but for the greater good, I think she'll be fine.
Just don't tell her.
Ask her permission first.
No. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. But yeah, I mean, if she's okay with it and stuff, I would like to see it at least. And
yeah,
if it's shareable, I'd like to share it too. But if she doesn't want to share it, that's fine. But I mean, like, if you got footage of the blankets being pulled, orbs or whatever else you have and stuff, I mean, I definitely would like to see that for sure.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's, you know, I can make a movie, Paranormal Activity part 10 with it, you know, because I don't know how many videos or movies there are out there that call Paranormal Activity, but it seems like there's a lot. Every other year they're coming out with one. So I've never seen any of them. So the people are like, why don't you ever watch it? Because if I watch scary movies, I may not want to do my own show. So I refrain from watching horror movies and anything remotely scary because I know that stuff's real and I don't want to be scared to talk to people who've gone through those kind of things.
Yeah. And to be fair, since I've been listening to your show and I've been listening to Wes's Chronicles, Sasquatch Chronicles, I've got another friend, Stu, who listens to the show as well. He's a big fan. And we both decided that there's a hot spot in the UK that's known for cryptid activity or UFO and alien activity, and it's less than an hour's drive from us. So, and he's got a camper van, so we had this great idea of spending the night in these woods Cannock Chase. Sorry, nearly escaped me there, Cannock Chase. And before we went, I did a podcast search, not by podcast name, but by the podcast description of the show title. So people that have talked about things and their experiences in that area. And I was really taken back by the massive amount of accounts that people have had in that area. So we were like quite charged to go and spend the night there and see what kind of experiences we could have. And we did have an unusual experience. Again, nothing concrete and conclusive. He did capture an image, an apparition of something in the woods. And oddly enough, it was early on in the evening that we had activity. Later on, sort of when you'd expect to get it around 2-3 in the morning, it was calm. There was nothing. It wasn't even eerie. But when we went out at about 10 in the evening, there was an unusual charge of energy in the air. It felt odd. It felt eerie. And we went walking down this path through these woods. And at the point where we got this photo of this apparition of like a mist, we didn't see it at the time, obviously, but it was the same location where we had this experience. We'd found something hanging in the tree. So, we took a photo and then we just turned around to start walking forwards again. And we heard it wasn't a growl. It wasn't an aggressive growl, but it was something big letting us know that it was there. I can't reproduce the noise and I can't really describe it, but it was something big. We knew this wasn't a fox or a badger. This was big. It was a deep grumble. We both stopped dead in our tracks, looked at each other like, what? Did you hear that? Yeah, I did. And then something moved forward through the bush, something big. My instinct, I've got this big bright light on and they said to us, my instinct was, sort of giving us away with this big beacon. So I turned the light off and my mate stood up, what are you doing? He's sort of got really quite worried. Honestly, I felt very vulnerable being not deep in the woods, but we were quite away. My mobility is not the best anyway. I said to Stu, if anything happens, I'm not running. I can't run. We're in trouble.
You're the kind of person that I want to go out with because I'll just trip you and run.
Yeah, bait.
You're not safe with me. You're probably better, off with Bigfoot because I'll feed you to Bigfoot.
But we did. We got footed it to the van, and then when we got back to the van, we were still outside trying to like compose ourselves a little bit. Like, what, you know, that was pretty. You know, something definitely big in those woods, and then it's something kind of alerted us to the fact that it had followed it back because there was a clang. Coming from in the forest. It was like, okay, something's there, definitely there. But then when we went out later on, I could say it was a completely different vibe. It wasn't as dark, it wasn't oppressive, it wasn't as eerie. And we were seeing eyes in the distance, and it was like, oh, no, it's a fox, you know. So we weren't over and above really excited about seeing something. We were quite calm, but yeah, it was an experience. You sometimes gotta put yourself in these positions to get to have these experiences.
That's the way I feel too. I mean, when people are like, why are you going out there and doing it? Because somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Why not me? Why not me? I'm the one that hasn't really had much of an experience. So let's change that, you know? So that's the way I look at it. But yeah, man, listen, I think that this was fun talking to you about this stuff. As far as the implant goes and the whole abduction stuff, have you thought about doing regression at all?
Twice, actually, yeah. And
you've done it twice?
I have, yeah. I've had regression twice. And I've exactly the same thing came up both times. I just had this feeling that my eyes were closed, and it was a bit like being on the operating table, and you know you're having work done on you, but you're not able to move or interact. And I just had this unusual feeling that, you know, I was calm, I wasn't scared, I wasn't fearful, but I knew I was being worked on. It came up both times, exactly the same during regression.
What came of it though? Did you have any memories that you didn't have before?
No visual memories, nothing. In all honesty, I don't think I was conscious during the abduction. This is the feeling that I'm getting. This is what I'm sensing during the regression. I don't feel I was conscious. It was like I was anesthetized. I wasn't able to move. I wasn't able to talk. I wasn't able to do anything. I was just completely motionless, and I had a feeling like there was several entities there sort of fiddling around and interfering with my physiology. Yeah, that's what came from the regression.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess that makes sense too. I mean, you know, if you're not conscious during an abduction, there's not much to remember.
And no, so exactly. That's true.
How many times we hear about that kind of aspect where people are, you know, they're in bed sleeping and things happen and it's like their body, something takes over their body instantaneously. So at that point, you're at the mercy of whatever is doing this. Man, well, hopefully you put your abduction days behind you and you can just live normal life with things pulling your covers off the bed, you know? it's one of those things, man, where I think the world is far stranger than people can even imagine, more than I can imagine.
Absolutely.
We uncover things on this show just by hearing people's experiences. I appreciate you coming on and sharing.
Mate, it's been brilliant. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I really appreciate the opportunity. And well done, by the way, on this whole platform you created. And thank you so much for giving me a place on that platform.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because that's the best thing you can do to help the show grow. Share the show. Leave some happy rating and reviews if you feel like it on your podcast player of choice. But of course, until next week, friends, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
down.